Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8. We'll read verse 1 through 4. "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation for him. As for Saul, he made great havoc in the church, entering into every house and hailing or arresting men and women, and committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." Heavenly Father, help us today as we study the Word. Help us to glean from it. Help us to see Jesus Christ and the things of God, and to understand better the gospel as we study. And Lord, I thank you and praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. And this is part 58 of our study in John the Baptist and our diversion, a short overview of the book of Acts. It's part 4. But it says that Saul was consenting unto his death. Well, who's Saul and who died? It does say that Stephen was carried to his burial. But again, who's Stephen and who's Saul? We're following the pattern of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that the gospel would be preached first in Jerusalem, and then all Judea, and then Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And today we're studying of how the gospel reached Samaria. But Saul was consenting unto his death. Oh, well, we got to turn back to chapter 6. But in chapter 6 it says that there was a problem in the early church. In verse 1 through 6, it says that as the disciples were multiplied, there was a little argument, I guess. It says murmuring of the Grecians or the Gentiles against the Hebrews, the Jews, because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. Well, where's these widows from? What's a daily administration? Apparently, from the text, they were handing out food or something. But there was an argument, well, you guys, you know, you Jews, you're handing out stuff to the Jews first, and then our Gentile widows, they're neglected. They come last, or whatever it was. And I guess it was a big deal, but in the long run, it wasn't a big deal. Every church has problems, I guess, from time to time. The early church, I guess, was no different. But the 12 disciples, they said, hey, we don't have time for this. We don't have time for this. Please fix this and don't bother us no more. And it says in verse 2 that it is not reasonable that we should leave the word of God and to serve tables or wait tables or hand out stuff at the table or whatever. And they said, hey, brethren, why don't you look out 7 men full of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, that we can appoint those guys over that business. But in verse 4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. A preacher's job, and in fact a pastor's job, is to preach the word of God. He's got to have a message on Sunday, maybe Sunday night if anybody in town still does that, or Wednesday, or whatever. He's got to have a message from the Bible. He's got to be able to set spiritual food before the people. Some of you may get upset, I suppose, but a pastor's job is not to get up at 3 in the morning and go to the hospital. Most pastors do, but that's not their job. That is really the deacon's job. It's the deacon's job. There should be enough deacons in the church that, hey, you know, go on rotation or whatever. If somebody gets a call, well, it's Fred's week this week. Next week, Willie's going to take call or whatever the case. And if you disagree, fine, I don't care. But Acts 6, verse 4, it's the preacher's job to give himself continually to prayer and the preaching of the word. But, okay, fine, they had this tiff or whatever it was. They had a problem, they solved it, they stuck people in place. Deacons. This is where the deacon, the office of deacon, came into being. Stephen was a deacon. But it says in verse 8, he was full of faith and power, and did great wonders and miracles among the people. As he was doing his, hey, I got to hand out stuff on Thursday morning, or whatever the case, people would come to get the free stuff or whatever, but he would pray for them. He would do whatever. And it says that God was with him, and he did the same kinds of things that Jesus did, as we see in the Gospels. And the locals, the same guys that crucified the Lord, they got all upset, and they eventually killed him. And chapter 6 sets it up, and chapter 7, it tells the story. But persecution began to arise. And we read, I guess, last week or whatever, that they threw Peter in prison. Well, now they threw this deacon in prison. And again, you ought to read this story because it shows that God stood up for his servants. God stood up. In fact, in verse 55 here, I'm looking, it says that he was full of the Holy Ghost, Stephen was, as they were coming at him and about ready to stone him. He looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God. He saw the glory of God. He saw heaven through the clouds miraculously. And Jesus was standing up at the right hand of God. And he told what he saw, and that was the last straw. And they killed him for it. They stoned him, and he went to heaven. But it says the guys that were stoning him, they took off their robes, or maybe took off their nice suit and loosened their tie. I mean, they didn't wear that, but you understand the idea. They said, "Here, Saul, hold my coat while I go kill that deacon." But they, it says, laid their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. But getting back to chapter 8, it says that Saul was consenting unto his death. He watched Stephen get killed and he said, "Hey, I can do that too." And however it was, but he got arrest warrants, or however it was, and he went from house to house arresting Christians and getting them thrown into prison. But this man Saul, later his name was changed, and God called him to be an apostle. But his name was changed to Paul. And this persecutor, after he got saved, wrote about half of the New Testament. All but just a handful of the epistles, he wrote them. But let's move on a little bit. It says in verse 5 that Philip, whichever Philip it was, that he went to a city of Samaria. Remember Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria. Philip went to Samaria. And it says he preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke. They heard, and they saw the miracles that he did. Just like Stephen, he preached the gospel and he healed the sick, or whatever the case, whatever miracle it was. This was a common thing. This was a normal thing that men of God had the power from heaven to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out devils, it says. And my question is, where'd that power go? For certainly we need the help of God. We need, as preachers, the hand of God upon our shoulder, helping us to preach, and then helping us to confirm the word with signs following, it says. But okay, Philip went to Samaria and preached the gospel, and a lot of people got saved. A lot of people believed. But immediately, in verse 9, it starts to talk about this guy, Simon the sorcerer. And the narrative goes back and forth from Simon to the things that are happening, and then back to Simon, and etc. But he saw Simon, this witch doctor, or holy man, or what have you, whatever you want to call him. He heard the gospel. He saw the miracles. And he wondered. It affected him. But it says that in verse 12, that the people, they believed what Philip had to say. He was preaching the gospel. He was teaching them about the kingdom of God, it says, and drew attention to the name of Jesus Christ. That's what preachers do. We preach Christ. But they were baptized, both men and women.
If you remember John, he preached repentance and the people believed and repented of their sin and they were baptized. When Jesus came on the scene, he preached the same thing, repentance, and the people believed and they were baptized. Now, he didn't baptize any. He had his disciples to do it. But that was what happened. That's what should happen. When you hear the gospel and believe, you ought to go get baptized. Well, Pastor, I was sprinkled. Well, you know what? I don't care. When you hear the gospel and believe it, you ought to be baptized. This is all through the New Testament. Baptism is, as a response to hearing the Word of God and believing, you ought to obey the book and get baptized. But these people here in Samaria, they believed and they got baptized. Now, in verse 14, when the apostles heard, they were back in Jerusalem, but they heard what happened. It says that Samaria had received the word of God, that they sent unto them Peter and John, and they came down and they prayed for the guys, the new believers, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Remember in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit fell, and the disciples, the apostles, the people, whatever, were filled with the Spirit. And it was a sign. It was a sign that God was in this, that God had sent His Son to die on Calvary for the sins of the world. He rose from the dead. He went back to heaven. But the power of God fell on the day of Pentecost and empowered Peter and the others to preach the gospel. And tongues was a sign of all of this, and a specific sign saying, hey, it's time to win the lost, and oh, don't forget those Gentiles. But Philip preached, the Samaritans believed, they were baptized, but when Peter and John, when they showed up, they prayed for them, laid hands on them, what have you, that they too might be filled with the Holy Ghost. Because it says in verse 16, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them, only that they were baptized in the name of Jesus. But it says in verse 17, when the apostles laid their hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost. It doesn't say that they spoke in tongues. It doesn't say it. But as you read, Simon, this sorcerer, he must have seen something. Now, it's interesting that Simon, he saw, first off, he heard the gospel that Philip preached. He saw the miracles that Philip did, people getting healed, what have you. Great miracles. But when Peter and John came down and laid hands on them, and the people began to speak in tongues, we assume they did, though it doesn't say. But when you're filled with the Spirit, it's much more than tongues. It's much more than tongues. And in fact, a lot of people make fun of Pentecost or Pentecostals, and they point at tongues and laugh. And that's fine. It's the least gift anyhow. But this sorcerer, he heard the gospel, he saw the miracles, but he was really impressed when the multitude was filled with the Spirit. There's a change that comes when you're filled with the Spirit. And to this man, his entire life was, well, he was a trickster. He was a sorcerer. He built his name. He had a great following. But when he saw the infilling of the Spirit, he said, I've got to have that. And he went to the apostles and they said, hey, I got to have that. Hey, how much money you want that when I lay hands on people, they get filled with the Spirit? And he was rebuked. He was instantly rebuked and cursed because money can't buy the infilling of the Spirit. Money can't buy those miracles. Money can't buy the change in the heart that comes when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and then the Spirit comes to live in your heart. Money can't buy this. But remember, it had to be purchased. It had to be purchased when Jesus gave his life on Mount Calvary. But the gospel is powerful. The gospel changes hearts. It changes lives. The gospel will deliver from drug addiction. The gospel will melt the heart and bring reconciliation in families if we let it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says that as we come to Christ, as we believe, as we do as these Samaritans did, they heard, they believed, they repented, and hey, they even got baptized. There was a change. There was a change. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. He's created anew. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That's the power of the gospel. If you have a problem, turn to God. If you got a situation, bring it to God. Pray and say, hey, God, help me with this. Or go find that Christian guy down the road that you really can't stand because he's a Christian. Go find him and say, hey, will you pray for me? Or if you go to church, go find the pastor. Or, hey, go kneel in the altar or whatever they do at your church, but ask the people or the pastor to pray. Bring your problems to the Lord. Because there's no telling what kind of miracle that God can do in your life. No telling how God can intervene in your situation. And as I often say, put your trust in Jesus Christ. Believe the gospel as it's preached. And learn how to depend on God when you're in trouble or for your everyday needs. Trust in Him. Trust in Him. As the hymn goes, there's no secret. What God can do, what He's done for others, He can do for you. And with arms wide open, He'll pardon you. Whatever sins you've committed, He'll forgive you. It is no secret what God can do. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, You can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's joeykelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.